got to have law. And don't ever forget it. In order to have freedom, you've got to have a measure of law. Now listen, there's a balance, just like everything else, like the Bible shows us so often about balance. If you have too much law, you have tyranny. If you don't have any law, you have anarchy. And both of them lead to taking away of your freedoms. Because I'm going to tell you something, brethren. It's a fact that people have known through the years that, we were discussing today in class that a mob is way more dangerous than just a single individual. And the Bible even shows that principle. And so, brethren, look here. I tell you something. We need to be thankful for the laws that we have. Yes, our forefathers didn't want government to be so big that it controlled every part of our life, every facet of our life, to where government would become tyrannical. But, brethren, understand that without law, you can't have freedom and liberty. And thank God for the laws that we do have that gives us freedom and liberty. All right, brethren, don't you take your Bibles tonight. And, Brother Chris, I sure appreciate you. Let's sing that song tonight. Take your Bible. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs 17. And we're going to look at two verses tonight, Lord willing. Proverbs 17 and verse number 32. Excuse me. Verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27 and verse 28. The Bible says this. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, instruct us, guide us, direct us, and help us tonight. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. All right. Brethren, our text tonight tells us, Proverbs 17, verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now let's look at that first part. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Now the word knowledge in the dictionary means a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact. It means learning and information. The word spare means to use frugally, not to be profuse, not to waste. So our text tonight says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. So a man that has knowledge doesn't waste his words. He's frugal with his words. He chooses his words carefully, and he's not full of words. That's a man that has knowledge. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. So, by that statement, you know what we can see this, that a man who talks all the time, a man who doesn't know when to be quiet, is actually revealing himself to be a man who knows nothing. That's something to take in and to consider and really listen to, brethren. And really help that God would take tonight and help our characters to develop and be what we ought to be there before the Lord and take these things to heart and teach our children. The Bible says a man, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. Somebody that has knowledge, brethren, they spare their words. They don't just throw out a bunch of words. They don't just talk all the time. They know when to talk, when to be quiet. They choose their words carefully. That's a mark of a man that knows something. Brethren, somebody that talks all the time or don't know when to be quiet, brethren, they're revealing what they're saying about themselves is, actually, I don't know anything. And I'm making up for what I don't know with a lot of noise. Come on, and you know what I'm talking about. You know? If you don't have facts, you just muddle the air with a lot of noise. You know what I'm saying? And so, a man that's full of talk, a man that's not sparing in his words, reveals himself really to be a man that actually knows nothing. The mark of a knowledgeable man is a man who knows when to be quiet and a man that can be quiet. All right? Knowing when to be quiet, and also with the ability to be quiet. So a knowledgeable man is somebody who knows when to be quiet, knows when to button it up, and is also an individual who can do it, who has the mastery of himself to be able to know when to be quiet and can be quiet. Brethren, listen to me. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. And they should be used sparingly. Words are powerful and they should be used sparingly. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Look at that. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. To want means to lack, to not have. So when the Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, what that means is that, brethren, in a lot of words, there's going to be sin. In the multitude of words, there wanteth. That word want means to lack. Wanteth not sin. Brethren, count on it. And surely you've seen this in your life if you're honest. You get to talking a lot, you end up sinning. You get to talking a lot, you end up sinning. If you get to talking a lot, you usually end up saying something you shouldn't have said, saying something about somebody you shouldn't have said, revealing something you shouldn't have revealed. Brethren, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You get to talking, and the words just start blah, 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 start coming. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. You're going to say something you wish you hadn't said. You're going to regret it. You're going to wish anything you could get those words back. That's why, brethren, listen. It is your life will be made so much easier and with so much less trouble if your words will be fewer. And controlled. Fewer and controlled to where you have a hold on your words. Man, you let that thing go and just get to talking, look out. Something's going to be said. And you know something? I bet you most of us are like this. I bet you most of us are like this. When we get nervous, we start talking. When we get nervous, we start talking. I mean, it's just, you know, just nonsense. And it just rattles off. Blah, 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 blah. You know. And next thing you know, you said something and you're like, why did I say that absolutely idiotic remark I just made? I mean, this person thinks I'm an idiot. And what happens is you get nervous and you just start talking. You know, I mean, we're probably all guilty of it. But you know what? Listen, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, what we've got to do is by the grace of God, just be ourselves. Be who you are. And learn to control what you say. How many of y'all have ever found yourself in the company of somebody that you felt intimidated with, and man, you just started babbling. You just started blubbering. You just started, or you know what? You know what will get you in trouble when you try to be something you're not? Man, be what you are. You want to make an absolute fool out of yourself? Try to be something you're not, and talk in a way that's not really you. In order to impress somebody, you will fall flat on your face. Man, be what you are. Listen, as I preach, I know I butcher the King's English probably multitudes of times. When I preach, I use all kinds of things you shouldn't probably do. I use double negatives. I do all kinds of things. I just do all kinds of acrobatics with the English language. But I want to tell you something. If I tried to be careful and make sure everything was just grammatically correct, I'd get so tongue-tied I couldn't do nothing. I was raised up at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Mountaineer, North Carolina. I know how to write, and I know what proper English is, and I can write sometimes a halfway decent letter. But I want to tell you something. When I relax and just talk, I am what I am. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be what I am. And I talk the way I was raised. And you know what? It's not really any problem if we listen. Let me say something. If you sit, listen, brethren, if you ever find yourself sitting and trying to count my grammatical errors, you got a problem. A heart problem. You'll have a mental problem because I'll have you so bumfuzzled, man. You'll just be in a mess for sure. But you know what? I never worried for years ago. Years ago, a gentleman, bless his heart, he was trying to be. He visited the church and he wanted to be helpful. I think he gave me a book on English because I guess he was just appalled. Well, but it didn't offend me. I thought, bless his heart, bless your heart. He said, "What'd you do with it?" I gave it away, put it thrift store, something like that. I mean, listen, brethren. Listen, that thing, if I had to stand up here and think, okay, well, let me get everything just right and not be able to relax and talk to you and preach to you and let the Lord work through me who I am, couldn't get nothing done. I'd fall all over myself. Be who you are. And don't ever apologize about being who you are and your background and where you come from. Remember that. Don't ever get above your raisin. Don't ever get above your raisin. You know what? There was an individual where I grew up, and this person kind of always talked a little bit different than where we was raised. And everybody knew it. And it made them look foolish. And somebody asked a relative of this person one time, said, "Hey," in fact asked her brother, said, "Hey, so-and-so, your sister there, she wasn't raised in New York, was she?"
"Nah."
"You ever spent much time there?"
"Nah."
"So why she talk like it?" And all it did was make her look foolish. All right. And you know what I'm saying is, Ben, if you ever get someone like that, and you're like, "Oh, I got to make sure I don't say ain't now, because if I say ain't, boy, I'm really going to look bad." You know, you get some tongue tied, some flustered, and ears will turn red, and you'll cough, and it'll just be what you are, and who you are, and don't worry about it. All right. And watch that kind of stuff, because I tell you what, you go and you get all flustered and everything. If you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll get to talking to make up for your nervousness, and next thing you're going and done, you're going to let the cat out of the bag on something. Or you said something you shouldn't have said, or you really will make yourself look foolish. All right, look here, let's go on. All right, so brethren, listen, words are powerful and should be used sparingly. The Bible says, Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Now, you get to talking too much, I'm going to tell you you're going to sin. That's why be careful. When you're out somewhere, be careful. And that's why, listen, and know when that you're fellowshipping with somebody. Know when it's time to say, "I got to go to bed." How many of you have ever found, through your years, especially in younger years, that you go on fellowship and it's getting late at night, 11 or 12, and you're just trying to, and next thing you know, you're getting that punchy feeling, you know? And you just kind of, you know, and boy, next thing you know, you just keep talking, and you say something you wish you hadn't said, or you regret it, and you just feel miserable. That's why it's time, you start to lose control. And boy, you start to lose control, first thing that's going to go is that tongue. All right, take your Bible, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says this. "Thou believest that there is one..." I'm sorry. I was in James 2. James 1, sorry, where to go. That was my fault. James 1, verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Brother, look here. You know what? So often... Now, brother, I know the Lord helped me on this. I'm probably one of the world's worst myself. But brethren, so often we're so intent to throw out the nugget of wisdom here that we've got on something, a lot of times we don't take time to listen to the person that's talking to us. If we'll listen to what somebody's saying to us, then we'll know how we need to answer. But you can't get a clear picture unless you're willing to listen. So don't be thinking so much about what you're going to say. Be willing to listen and get the full picture first. And then you can know what to say. And maybe sometimes you don't need to say anything yet. Really. The Bible says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Measure your words. Think about what you're going to say. If you don't have an answer to give, say, "Let me pray about this thing and get back with you later." Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All right. All right, take your Bible real quickly and go back to Proverbs 17. Brethren, I say it again, words are powerful and should be used sparingly. Words, brethren, can make or break a life. Did you know that? Did you know that words can make or break a life? Brethren, did you know just the words, "I love you, I sure appreciate you, you mean the world to me"? You know what that'll do for somebody? Now send them over the top. But did you know words of, "Can't you ever do anything right? You are the most stupid"? You know what that is? That cuts. That hurts. Man, that thing, what it does. Let me tell you something, brother. Words are powerful and should be used sparingly and should be used wisely. Words can do great good or great damage. You know one thing that I've noticed? You know one thing I've noticed in the generations coming up? They're loose with their words. I'm telling you something, brethren. And I know, no doubt my generation was looser than the generation before me. There used to be a thing of, you know, children are seen and not heard. But you know what happens today? Today the child is made the centerpiece of everything. You know why the child should never be the centerpiece of everything? Because the Bible says foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. All that child knows is foolishness. It's got to be taken and gotten out of that child and wisdom put in. That child has nothing to impart. All right? Yes, we love them. We give them attention. But when you make them the centerpiece, they eat that up and it ruins that young'un. But I want to tell you something, brother. I know when I was coming up, brother, at least my whole, man, you didn't call each other stupid. You didn't call each other names. You didn't do that stuff. You didn't throw around those words like that. Man, today, I mean, people just throw around everything. Oh, what an idiot. Hey, stupid. Just words like that, brother. He thinks that's not good. Well, I don't mean it. Yeah, but somebody or some kid listening don't know that. And they pick up on it. Let me tell you something, brother. Have you ever heard, had somebody tell you this? Well, I didn't really mean it. You know what, brother? I've had people say things and do things. I mean, they'd about rip your guts out and act in certain ways. And then, you know, something, I mean, just hurt you, man. I thought, well, I didn't mean it. Hey, if you don't mean it, don't say it. And if you really didn't mean it, don't wait. If you didn't mean it, correct it immediately. You know what I'm saying? I mean, brother, don't wait till somebody has to come to you and you see they're offended, then you start backpedaling. Hey, if you really didn't mean it, as soon as you're aware, like, you know what, I bet that, go get that thing made right. Learn to say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said. I cut loose with my lips and I'm sorry, forgive me. Man, take the initiative and get that thing took care of. All right, listen. Brethren, let me say this to you. Words are easier to control when there are fewer of them. That's just a simple principle we can get a hold of. Anything that there's a fewer number of is easier to control. And when words are fewer, they are easier to control. You might not be looked at as the greatest socializer in the world. And you might not be looked at as the person with the greatest personality, but you also won't find yourself getting in a lot of trouble neither. People may look at you like, he's boring. Don't you have an opinion about anything? Don't you? That's okay. Just hold on. When it's time to speak, you'll know when to speak. You can say the right thing, what needs to be said. And let me tell you something. A lot of these people that, you know, well, they talk a lot and they got an opinion on everything. They also run off so much they get yourself in a lot of trouble. Sparing your words will keep you out of a whole lot of trouble. All right, listen. Let me say this to you tonight also, that silence can speak volumes. Did you know that? It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Silence is not saying anything yet. Silence can shout volumes. I'll give an example. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 26. You've heard the phrase, silence is golden. It tells them silence can speak volumes. Let me tell you why, young'un. Don't get me wrong, brother. Children are cute and they're precious and we get a kick out of them and they're great. But if you ever see that child getting a sense of its own, getting an awareness of its own self, nip that thing quick. In other words, we love to mess with young'uns and pick at them, and we love to, you know, that's great because children are a blessing to us. But if you ever see that kid realizes, I'm in the spotlight, and everybody's watching, and everybody's listening, and I've got everybody just where I want them, get a hold of that thing. For everybody else's own good, but above all, for that young'un's own good. It's not good. All right, look here. Matthew 26, and look at verse number 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Notice the Lord Jesus did not speak until it was necessary. And his silence spoke volumes. But they were falsely accusing him. They were falsely. But you know what? By his silence, his very silence, brethren, spoke out volumes as to his character, and as to who he was, and the nature of himself. I mean, and his innocency. Rather, just that silence. Brother, let me tell you something. Take heed to this. If you're ever called into such a situation to give an account, learn the value of silence. Learn the value of only speaking when you need to speak. And letting the Lord direct your words. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and look at verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Oh, the value of silence. Pilate was just, listen, he was just, whoa. He had never met nobody like Jesus. He never met nobody like the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus is the Son of God, of course. There's none like Him. But they never met nobody like the Lord Jesus, no doubt. I mean, here they're laying all these charges against Him. And you know how most people are. If somebody's throwing charges against you, what are you all fired to do? I did not. Yeah, you bunch of so-and-sos. You know what? You're railroading me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just really. See, our Savior was assured of the Father's will, assured of His innocency, assured of what He came to do. And the Bible says He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Didn't answer a thing. Let me tell you something, brethren. That takes some trust and some faith in God. By the way, brethren, knowing when to answer and when not to answer speaks volumes. Haven't you ever seen somebody, brethren, that a lot of times if you see somebody trying to defend themselves, they get so riled up about it, they almost make themselves look guilty. You know, I mean, really, they pitch such a fit and they say so many things, you kind of go, well, but you know, somebody knows when to be quiet. Speaks volumes. Brethren, especially as a believer who's trusting God to plead your cause and take up your defense. Take your Bible, go to John 19. John 19. John 19. John 19. Now, let me say this. We want to have a balance. Young folks, it's good to learn to be quiet, but now don't be like one boy I knew of who, this boy talked just too much. He did. He really did. And his pastor told him, said, son, you need to learn to be quiet. You ain't never going to get you a wife if you can't learn to control your mouth. Because he just talked all the time. Well, I think he went to the other extreme then. He just sat around and didn't say nothing then. The girl probably thought he had no personality then, you know, at all. So now listen, I mean, it's one thing, you know, in certain cases it's strategic, but you would like some girl to know that you do have a personality, all right? Just that your personality is not all dominating, you know, that you just don't know when to be quiet. There's a balance. There's a balance. There's a balance to be had there. Amen. Okay. John 19, verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. And then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever make themselves king, speak against Caesar. But you see that until it got political, until the people brought up Caesar, Pilate wanted to let the Lord Jesus go. And he, no doubt, he was so impressed with the Lord Jesus. He said, I've never seen anybody like the Lord Jesus. And I think part of it was the Lord's ability to keep silence like he did. Not railing on, not throwing things back in people's teeth, just taking it and only answering when he had to. And such answers that he gave. Brethren, let me tell you something. There's value in silence. And silence so very often speaks volumes. All right, go back to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Look at verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Okay? A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Well, the word understanding, brethren, allows one to take knowledge and use it rightly. Understanding is the ability to know what to keep and what to throw away and how to use what you do keep. See, understand, you get knowledge. But understanding is being able to take that knowledge and sift through it and hold on to what's good and right and true and let go what isn't, and then how to use what you do have. All right? And then the Bible really shows us what understanding is. Job 28, verse 28. Go there very quickly. Job 28, 28. The Bible says in Job 28, verse 28, "And then to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Now tonight in Proverbs we read that a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. The word excellent means being of great value or use, distinguished for superior attainments. Did you know two times in the book of Daniel the Bible says Daniel was of an excellent spirit? Twice in the book of Daniel the Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit, an excellent spirit. And we know for sure that Daniel departed from evil. Daniel departed and had nothing to do with evil. And Daniel had good judgment and discernment about it. Daniel knew how to behave himself. You see, and I want you to get this tonight. A man of understanding doesn't just know what is right. He does right. Okay? Brethren, a man of understanding doesn't just know right. A lot of folks know right. A lot of saints know right. A man of understanding does right. What does the Bible say? Fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So a man of understanding, brethren, he not only knows right. He knows right and he does right. Daniel was an excellent spirit. Why, brethren, surely there were other Jews there in the place there with Daniel, in the Babylonian captivity, and there in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and that area in the city there. Surely there were other Jews. But you know what? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went and bowed down there, and how Daniel took his stand, you know, against eating the defiled, the king's meat and everything, and the stands that Daniel took, it wouldn't be surprising. Surely we would think that there were other Jews there, many others perhaps who knew right. But Daniel did right. Brethren, let's remember that. It's not enough, brethren, really to know. We must do that which is right. All right? A man of understanding, I really believe, brethren, doesn't just know, he does right. All right? Go to Proverbs 9 just a minute. And as you're going to Proverbs 9, let me also say this to you, that, brethren, hasty words escalate a situation. Did you know that? Brethren, you have the ability in any argumentation, in any debate, in anything, you have the ability to diffuse it and keep it on a level, on a playing field that is calm and in control. You have the ability to do that if you will. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. But see, brethren, any time you utter hasty or heated words, all you're doing is escalating the situation. Have you ever seen that, brethren? I mean, brother, surely you've seen that. There's something, and you answer a certain way, and all you're going to do is get the same response, and it just builds. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. God has given you. It'd be just like going to a course as a policeman, Brother Chris, and you're taught moves to defuse any situation or any attacker. And never fail. The Bible's given you such tools. A soft answer turns away wrath. And it works, and it'll happen. A soft answer will turn away wrath. Oh, somebody may make an attempt again, but you'll give a soft answer back. But if you're not careful, you get in the flesh and answer with a smart response or heated. All you're doing is escalating the situation, making the whole thing worse. And you know why we do that? Pride. You know what the Bible says? Only by pride comes contention. Come on now. Anytime you're in an argument or debate, there's an element of pride trying to get in there. You don't want to look like you don't know anything. You don't want to look like you're getting taken the better of. You don't look like somebody has put you down or somebody's put the big foot down. You don't like that, and your flesh is back there growling, going, let me at him. And man, you better beat it down. You better pull out that little whipping chair and say, get back, boy, get back. No, you're not. You ain't gonna make this thing worse. And the devil comes in, boy, you're looking like an idiot. Boy, you look like you don't know anything. You're looking like a rookie, wet behind the ears. You're just looking so bad. Hey, let him rail, let him talk. All you're gonna do, you're not gonna win that way. When pride comes in there, contention is just going to increase. The situation is going to escalate. You're not going to win. What good is it if you go away and say, "Ha! I showed them," and then maybe lose the soul or have no more influence with them? Man, allow yourself, if it needs be, to somebody think bad about you or somebody think this about you or whatever like that. Man, have the grace. Let me tell you something. There's a guy I know. He was a strength coach at Boise State University, maybe 15, 20 years ago, something like that. And he told me the other day he was in the gym, and he was doing some squats or something in there, and he was doing something different. He was just trying something a little different. And he had his head positioned a certain way, and so he heard somebody going, "Hey," and "Hey," and about the third or fourth time, "Hey." He finally realized they were talking to him, and he's like. He goes, "What?" He goes, "Hey." He goes, "Just a second." And so he started finishing what he was doing. The guy goes, "Hey." He's like, "Yeah, what do you need?" He goes, "Listen. Now this guy that he's here to say this to, this friend of mine, he was strength coach at Boise State. The guy's been in powerlifting, Olympic weightlifting for almost just great years of his life, knows his stuff, upside one down the other. This guy was telling him, "Well, you need to keep your chin up a certain way and you need to tighten your back." And you know, now, and he said his first response, he told me, he wanted to go, he was like, "Kid, I just chew it." But he's like, "Nope," because he's a Christian. And he said, you know what I did? He said, I just looked at him and said, "Hey, thanks, man. Thanks. Man, I appreciate that. That's good. That's good. Appreciate that." He said, also, the guy who told him that was a guy, he said, I trained about 5-6 years ago myself. I guess he forgot, who was, But you know what? Pride would have said, "Thank you, I know what I'm doing. Well, I done. All I've done with that guy would have been like, well, pardon me." It's just been an attitude. You know, because, "Hey, thanks, appreciate it." You can do that when you're secure in yourself and not having to prove anything and you got pride down. All right? Brethren, when pride comes up, you know what you're saying? "I'm not sure of myself. I feel intimidated." Brother, when you trust your God and depend upon Him, and you know you're doing what God wants you to do, you have nothing to prove to anybody. You realize that the Lord calls it all out, you're not trying to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to worry about that stuff. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And in an argument or a debate, pride enters in, and man, here it goes. Oh, I knew that. What? Okay. So why'd you have to say that? Brethren, if we'll just take, brother, you'll never go wrong by going the humble route. Man, brother, what's it going to cost you? Well, let's be honest now. Let's carry the thought through. Come on. What's it going to cost you? A teaching engagement or will it cost you a meeting or something like that? I mean, God takes care of that stuff, right? Let's get down to it. This person's not going to think that you're very sharp. And you're worried about how you look. You're worried about reputation. Brethren, that ain't the way to go. You say, "Man, but that's where faith comes in." The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. That's where faith comes in. You say, "Lord, you know, God. I don't have anything to prove to anyone. Lord, they can think I'm a blooming idiot. It don't matter. God, they think I don't know anything. But Lord, what does it matter? Lord, I don't know anything." Ah, that's true. "God, but I know you, and you know everything, and I can trust you, and let God take care of those things." Brother, look here. God hates pride. You don't want it manifest in any part of your life. All right, let's go on here just a minute. Proverbs 9, look at verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Did you get that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, guess what, brethren? I believe we can infer this, that a man of understanding will keep himself around holy and righteous things, which will then enter his heart and come out his mouth. Thus, he'll be of an excellent spirit. The knowledge of the holy is understanding, and a man of understanding, I believe, will depart from evil, and he'll surround himself with right things, right music, right reading material, write the things of God that are holy and just and good and honest and virtue and praise and things that will edify him, the things of God. He'll surround himself with those things. They'll enter the heart and they'll come out the mouth. Because what's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. That's for sure. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right, let's go back to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. That is the truth, friend. I mean, a man may be an absolute fool. I mean, just court jester of the universe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just a fool. But if he keeps his mouth shut, nobody will know it. Really? Nobody will know it. Brother, do you realize you could be an absolute, I mean, just a fool. But if you'll keep your mouth shut, people ought to think, now that guy knows something. Now that guy over there, now that guy, he's not saying anything. I bet you that guy knows something. Man, keep the deception up. Keep quiet. Why open your mouth and blow the thing, huh? You know, why go ahead and say something? Everybody goes, oh boy, yeah, you know. Go ahead and carry. The Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Listen, I want you to notice something before we proceed with this. Notice that phrase, holdeth his peace. And you know what it means? It means to keep silence, to keep, you know, hold your peace. But isn't that an interesting phrase? Hold your peace. You know, the word peace in the dictionary means a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Let me tell you something. We often have in our hands the ability, as I just mentioned earlier, to diffuse or ignite a situation. You have the ability to either ignite a situation and send it off like a powder keg, or you can diffuse it. You have the ability to do that. Brother, and listen, be it a husband and wife, be it on the job, be it brethren, be anywhere, you have the ability. Don't you know that sometimes you know just a little word said? Brother, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling God. Because you know something, brethren? A lot of times we can do this. We know if we say this, I mean, Katie, bar the door, it's going to be on. But we know also we can do it in such a way, what? All I said was, but we know. We know that's just the comment. That's just the thing. I just said this. But we knew what we were doing. And so we can get that old bug-eyed, you know, kind of, look. But God Almighty knows. God Almighty knows. All right? Brethren, we can either ignite the thing or diffuse it. We have the ability, brethren, to do so. We have the ability to keep the peace or bring commotion. And it often depends on us holding our peace by knowing when and how to speak. In other words, think about it. Hold your peace. Don't let it go. Let's suppose you're dealing with someone. Anyone. Maybe it may be an argument. It may just be a conversation. Whatever. Hold your peace. In other words, you have the ability to keep that situation peaceful. But if you let your peace go, if you handle it the wrong way, there's going to be commotion, confusion, turmoil. Hold your peace. In other words, keep the peace. Keep that thing so it's peaceful and it's pleasant and it's as free from commotion and turmoil as much as you can keep it that way. The other person may try to escalate it. But you want the Bible says, soft answer, turn away wrath. You have the ability to do so if we will. But it's keeping that flesh under. And brethren, it all gets back again to, you can't keep that flesh under, brethren, unless you're surrounding yourself with the things of God. Let me tell you something, brother. Look, come on, let's just be honest. Man, brother, we're going down the road. You got flesh and I got flesh. If you're saved, Spirit of God dwells in you, and Spirit of God dwells in me. And we're going down the road, brethren, and the flesh does not want to listen over there to, you know, some Bible station. It doesn't. The flesh don't want to listen to that. The flesh at least has compromised and said, you know, you're like, you ain't getting me over there in the rock and roll country station. You ain't doing it now, man. I didn't learn that. The flesh says, okay, compromise. Come on, man. Just go to a talk show. But here's this to me. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying this Bible goes right. But here's the problem. The problem is that stuff is, I'm not saying it's sinful. I'm not necessarily saying it's sinful, but it's easy to pick up those attitudes. Man, we need holy attitudes. And you go over there, brethren, you go over there to some good Christian music or something like that, and you know what happens, man? And the flesh says, oh, you're doing that to me, man! What are you doing? And boy, the Spirit of God there saying, there you go, there you go, there you go. And after a little bit there, it's just, you're so glad you did. You're so glad you did. It's just that battle, man. It's just that battle. Don't you get discouraged. Don't you get down, man. I mean, it's, that's that battle. Praise God, somebody will be in heaven. And that battle will be ceased. And it'll be done. But let's fight the good fight now. But man, it is a battle, brethren. Listen, we have in our hands, often it depends on us holding our peace by knowing when and how to speak. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Brethren, I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Now understand, I'm not saying it's a sin to listen to the news or talk radio. I didn't say it's a sin. Please don't get out of here going and say, but I'm just saying it might not be expedient all the time. I'm going to tell you something. We come back in the mornings from the Y, and we got, usually our time, the way our time is, we kind of time it certain ways. And you that 8:22 on that 88.5, they got their Bible quiz every day. We kind of, it's neat that we do it as a family, you know. We kind of take it all like that. Well, then by the time that's done, it's 8:30, and Paul Harvey comes on. And I thought, well, yeah, Paul Harvey's got some interesting stuff. But you know what I've noticed lately? I'm going to tell you something, brother. This world is headed, lately he's been having some kind of stories that are kind of risque and things that just shouldn't be told on the airwaves. You know something, brother? I'm telling you, more and more and more and more, I'm telling you, you're going to find, brethren, that the lines are drawn. And you and I, brethren, I'm not, please, listen, don't go out there and say, Brother Dawes preached against Paul Harvey. My man. I always liked Paul Harvey. Brother Dawes said, sin, now listen to Paul Harvey. I never said nothing like that. I'm just saying this. There's just some things that vexed me with my wife and my children in the car. Some things and some stories there that are kind of bawdy stories. That's a better word, bawdy stories that have been told lately. And it's like, why? Well, you know, hey, it sells. And you know, brethren, it just, Isaac Watts said in his song, is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Man, that hits straight and hard, doesn't it? It just does. You know. Brother, all I'm trying to do, I ain't going to try to give you a list to say, don't this, do that. I'm just saying, let's everyone be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God as He directs us and as He nudges us and walk in the Spirit. All right, but look here. Ecclesiastes 9, look at verse 17. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Brethren, it's important to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. All right? Let me say this, brethren, as we go back to Proverbs 17. Let me say this. A fool can be thought a wise man if he just keeps his mouth shut. A fool can be thought a wise man if he just keeps his mouth shut. Well, the Bible says, even a